All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read the first four verses. So Colossians chapter 3, reading in verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Father, again, we do thank you for the time we can have together tonight in the middle of a week. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to take away all distractions of our own minds, the distractions of today, distractions of tomorrow. Lord, anything that would cause us not to hear you and not to be focused on you tonight, because we do know that you have something special for us through your word. For each of us, Father, we thank you that you can speak to many hearts through your word and through one message. Thank you, Father, for what you have planned for us. Father, would you ask that you bless the children and Kid Ventures always open up their hearts and minds to, Lord, understand the truth of the Bible lesson being taught. Help them to have fun with the games, the crafts, whatever they're doing. But Father, we do ask that the Word of God would take root in all of our hearts, Lord, helping us to continue to grow through the Word of God, helping our faith to continue to be nurtured and watered by the truth of your Word. Father, we ask that you would just speak to us in a very special way tonight. As always, Father, bringing honor and glory to yourself, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes in life, we need to find a renewed outlook. And tonight I want us to think about having a renewed outlook, because just life in general sometimes can get our focus off of what God wants us to be focused on. Our focus can get off of the direction God wants us to go in our life. And many times we find ourselves frantically trying to open a door that God has shut. Now, Jesus is the one that said, knock, seek, where to pray and ask for things. And God's the one that even said that God opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors no man can open. And there are times where we want God to open certain doors in our life, and he doesn't, but yet we still try to frantically pull on the doorknob, wanting God to open that door because it's what we want, and yet it's not in God's will. We see that throughout the life of Paul, where Paul just allowed himself to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He was so sensitive to the Spirit that there were places he wanted to go to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit forbade him, and he didn't fight with the Holy Spirit. He just kept moving on. Then he received the Macedonian call, went into Macedonia, later went into that part of Asia Minor that he first attempted to. And we find ourselves, though, at many times fighting with God, sometimes unbeknownst to us. We don't realize we're doing it. We just want something so bad in our life. We think if we have it, then my life will be better, things will be better, I'll be happier. But yet we find ourselves fighting against the Lord and really finding ourselves becoming more miserable because we're fighting against the will of God, and we are doing like Paul was doing in the early part of his life, kicking against the pricks, as the Lord Jesus Christ would tell him. Tonight I want us to see a few things in verses 1 through 3, but first look at verse number 4, because tonight I do want us to get a renewed outlook on our life that God's given us. But sometimes, as verse number 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, that really should be the motto or the banner that is in each of our lives. When Christ, who is our life is to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. I could rightly title the message tonight, A Renewed Uplook. A Renewed Uplook. There's a renewed outlook where you look on life in a different perspective, but sometimes for the Christian, we need to look up to get our focus back on what God wants us to be focused on. Tonight I want us to see three areas that we can renew in pursuing in our life. And the first one is found in verse 1. If you look at verse number 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Pursuing our new position in Christ. Now, tonight you're saved, you're on the way to heaven, you have that position in Christ that you already have, but we still need to pursue that position, and we need to pursue it in the resurrection. Again, these are things where you already know that you are a child of God, you have that position in Christ, you're seated in heavenly places, but yet you're still living upon this earth until that day that we will see Him face to face. And we do. Again, the things of this world sometimes can cause our vision to become blurred, can cause us to lose focus because we find ourselves wrapped up in life, not necessarily seeking after sinful things, but just life in general gets busy, can take our focus off of heavenly things. And God wants us to continue pursuing that new position, reminding us of the resurrection we have in Christ. Again, look at verse 1. He says, "If ye then be risen." If ye then be risen. It is pursuing our new position in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. Again, until the day we meet our Lord and Savior face to face, we will have to consistently and constantly renew our outlook in life, because life changes. As my wife and I were just talking recently, you know, we'll be married coming up this January, 30 years, all right, 30 years. 30 years this January, January the 1st. We got married January the 1st, 1993, so coming up on 30 years. I'm not the same person she married, and she's not the same person that I married. Because when you first get married, again, we have likes and dislikes, but as you get older, things change in your life. Now, we've enjoyed life for going on 30 years together as a married couple, but we've been together, it'll be 34 years, that we've been together as a couple, married for 30 years. But as we were talking, you know, things change. The things, you know, even the colors I liked back then are not the colors I like now. I have different things I like. She has different things that she likes. But even as a husband and her as a wife, we have to continue pursuing our own role in the marriage. We have to continue pursuing myself, the husband's role, her, the wife's role, and continuing to learn. We have to continue to learn each other. Now, Christ never changes, but you and I do change. And again, the things of this life can get us all focused at different times and get us busy in life, but our relationship with Christ always deserves us pursuing that position. What is the position that you have with Christ? As the church, where you're the bride of Christ, but as a child of God, as a friend to the Savior, as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of the faithful Lord Jesus Christ, we have to continue pursuing the position we have. Continue. Remember, He called us out of this world. We're not a part of this world. This world's not our home. We're still traveling through it, but our mindset has to be on Romans 6 and verse 4. If you're there, look at Romans 6, verse 4 and 5. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Right? We're not the old people we were before salvation. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. but continuing to walk in that newness of life that he has given us. Goes on to say, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And again, think about the likeness of his resurrection. You think about sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Now, sin still wants to latch on. Sin still wants to dominate a Christian's life, but we are not to give in to sin. We're not to give place to the devil. We're not to give in to those temptations. We're to walk in the newness of life that Christ has given us through the resurrection. You and I are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, and yet it's not I, but it's Christ in us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, using marriage as an example, I've never forgotten that I was a husband. And I've never forgotten that I was a father as well. But when you use marriage as an example, I've never forgot. There has never been a day in the almost 30 years of marriage that I forgot. I woke up and, oh, I'm a husband. And she's never forgotten that she is a wife. Has there ever been a day in your life where you forgot you were a child of God? Probably not. But there has been times in our life where we have walked contrary to being a child of God, being a child of the light, because our focus gets away from the Lord. Our focus gets on worldly things instead of being set on heavenly things. Yes, we're living in a world. We had temporal things in our life. Our marriages are temporal. They're not going to last forever. We have family that's not going to last forever. Things in this life that's not going to last forever that God's blessed us with, but yet our focus has to be on pursuing our relationship with Christ, pursuing the position he's given us through the resurrection. And 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. There is a will for each of us that is God's will. Now again, we pursue this new position that we have through Christ because of the resurrection, and God has a perfect will for each of his children. And we are to pursue that because of the identity that we have in Christ. Again, when you look at Colossians chapter 3, and you look at the second part of verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, okay? Again, we're pursuing the new position that we have in the resurrection of Christ because we are risen. You realize that it's an amazing thing. Even though you and I can't see the future yet, God already sees us sitting at the table, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He already sees all of his children sitting there. Now, yet we're still here and we're still going through life, right? Still facing things in our life we'd rather not face, but again, that's why our perspective, that's why our outlook has to be renewed, is God is working in our life, he's working through our life, and he already sees that it's finished. Now, we still are running the race, but God sees it as though it's already finished, and our identity in Christ helps us to keep that renewed outlook. Again, when he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I already quoted it, but it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what? Sometimes we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute, Christ is everywhere I go. There's not a single place I can go where he's not going to be there, because if I'm there, he's there, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And sometimes we forget that. We know it, but sometimes we forget that Christ is with me. Now you think about, I remember a story. The only reason why I remember it is because I saw a picture of it. And the story goes like this. that it got real quiet in my house. And my mom knew something was up. Because as parents, when it gets real quiet and you have kids, you know, usually if it's real quiet, they're into trouble. They're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And my mom came looking for me. She came in my room. I was not there as far as she could see. She's looking all over for me. She comes back to my room because she hears some noises in the closet. She opens the closet, and there I am sitting on the floor with my diaper bag, and I have pulled out a bag of Oreo cookies, and I'm eating the Oreo cookies out of my diaper bag. You think? And now I have no idea why I even told you that. I was going somewhere with it, I tell you. When you think about, all right, let's do this. Go look at Galatians 2:20 again. Maybe I'll get my thought back. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you think about our identity in Christ, sometimes we do, it helps us to get that renewed outlook. It helps us to realize, you know what? Life is not as bad as I think it is. And we find ourselves maybe at some times where we're depressed, maybe we're overstressed. And the Lord is trying to bring us back into fellowship with him. You realize God never meant for a child of God, for a Christian to be overstressed or to be depressed. That's all because of our doing. It's because of our focus not being on the Lord. I've counseled many that I know that's exactly the problem. Their focus is not on the Lord. And yes, we all have our difficulties. We all have the things that we face. But again, having a renewed outlook that, you know what? I'm a child of God. My position is I am a heir of God and joint heir with Christ. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of the King. My Father owns it all, and anything I need, he's already said, ask, and I will provide. Paul tells those believers that my God shall supply all your need according to Christ Jesus, according to his glory, Christ Jesus. And when you think about renewing our, pursuing our new position, again, we already have that position, but sometimes we lose focus and we have to get refocused again. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We know that we can, we know that we want to, sometimes we need the Lord to help us to get back on the straight and narrow, to get back on focus. As Paul writes to believers at Colossae, again he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. The second thing we need to continue pursuing is our new purpose. Our new purpose in Christ, and it is a new purpose because, again, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new creatures in Christ, and there has been given to each of us, each of God's people, a new purpose in their life, and it is to seek those things which are above, to seek those things which are above. Again, I just want to say, it's not wrong to have things in this life because God has blessed us with life. He's blessed us with things, but the things of this world are not to take precedence over our relationship with God and over his will for our life. Seek those things which are above. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You probably already know the verse, but Matthew chapter 6. Because we are to be in pursuit of heavenly things. To be in pursuit of heavenly things. That word seek means to crave. It means to crave. Have you ever been real hungry? And you were craving a certain food that only would not quench, because it's not a drink, but only that certain food, whatever it was you were craving, even if it was a drink, you were craving it so bad you could eat something else, but you still were craving that, and once you ate it, it satisfied the craving. I mean, you just went all, you did whatever you had to do to go and get that. Because I remember during one of my wife's pregnancies, she was craving something really bad. And I would go to the store and get it, but this particular time, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I'm at 3, but it was after midnight. Might not have been 3, but it was definitely after midnight, and I gotta have that. I gotta have that. And I even tried, well, can't you eat this? I gotta. All right, so I got dressed, and I went to the store, got what she wanted, came back, sound asleep. Didn't even eat what I went to get. She was craving it so bad, she didn't even stay awake long enough. But the thing is, you understand those cravings. When you have those cravings, you gotta have whatever it is. God wants us to be like that towards Him, seeking those things which are above, having a craving for heavenly things. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things? Well, if you read the previous verses in that chapter, they're earthly things. Whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whatever it is. A lot of Christians are seeking after the earthly things before they're seeking after God. They're not finding their craving satisfied. Because we understand there's a void in every person that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. But there are cravings in our life that only the will of God can crave. And seeking God first, seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, seeking His will, seeking Him personally, and all the other things will be added to us. We are to seek or crave prayer. I still counsel people to pray and to seek God and to read their Bible. And I still hear, I need real help. I don't need that. I need real help. And they may not necessarily say to me, I need real help, but you understand what someone's thinking, the way they act, the way they respond to what, okay, I see. You know they really aren't listening. They really don't want that. They're wanting something else. They think something else will solve the problem, make them feel better. But again, God says that we are to continue pursuing that new purpose in our life, and that new purpose is seeking Him through prayer. It is seeking His will in our life, and it is seeking the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We are to be seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness and everything else. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else we need in life will be added. God will take care of it, but we have to first seek or to crave the things of God. We have to have a renewed outlook on life that it is the things of God that I need in this day and hour in which I live. Can I find somebody else who isn't really doing what they should be doing? Sure. But like my pastor always told me, draw a circle around yourself and take care of what's in the circle first. Then we can rightly be able to help what's on the outside of the circle. God truly wants us to pursue Him, and to pursue Him with such a craving that we will stop at nothing until we get what we desire, and that is a closer walk with Him, a closer relationship with Him, seeking Him through prayer, seeking His will in our life, and seeking the Holy Spirit power. Because what does the power of the Holy Spirit do in the Christian's life? Helps us to love properly, helps us to have the peace we need that soothes the soul, helps us to be able to be self-controlled. All the fruit of the Spirit we need in our life so that we can rightly pursue after the things of God. So we're to pursue the heavenly things and the promise of those heavenly things. If you go back to Colossians real quick, and look at that second part. So I guess it would be the third part in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Pursuing that new purpose, pursuing Jesus Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What does that tell you? What does it tell me? What does it remind us of when we're told where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God? Well, that represents, obviously, that Christ finished the Father's will in walking and living a perfect sinless life and dying the death that sinners could not die to pay for the sin debt that sinners could not pay for. And it tells us that it's finished. The payment is finished. It's satisfied. But it also reminds us that we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone interceding for us. Someone who has said, our faith gets us the victory over this world. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Again, I know of many Christians, and maybe you are tonight. You're struggling with trying to get an answer. There's things in your life that you're trying to do in your own strength. Like I said earlier, many Christians are trying frantically to open up doors that God has shut because he doesn't want them to go through that door. There's other doors that he opens up, but the ones that he shuts, many times we try frantically to open up those doors. Again, the easiest example is Adam and Eve. God gave them all the fruit-bearing trees to eat in the Garden of Eden and said, but this one, don't eat it. And we always, I say we, people, humans, always want what they can't have. They're always tempted by what they can't have. And God wants us to pursue him where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. God's already given us everything that we need in this life. His treasure chest is full of everything we need, and all we have to do is seek him first. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You realize Jesus already went through the struggle for us? He willingly went through the struggle. A lot of struggles that we have, and again, I say we, not necessarily you in here, but we as in Christians, as God's people, Bible-believing Christians, we bring more struggle on ourselves than that's necessary. Because we kick against the pricks, we go against what God wants. Nobody here, but there's somebody I know, a Christian, they confess to be a Christian. There's something that they want to do, and God has like shut the door so obviously, but they're still trying to force their way through the door and not listening to what God has to say. And they're causing more stress in their life. Again, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God has a way for us to walk. He has a path for us to walk. And along that path, there are different doors along the way. Some doors God will open up and some he won't. And if God doesn't open up the door, we just need to keep walking with him and not sit there and try to force our way through that door, because if God has the door shut, there's no way you and I or any other child of God is going to force their way through that door. But again, as we think about Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, when our perspective is put back in the right place and we have that renewed outlook, I have a Savior who already lived the perfect life for me. Therefore, I can cast all my care upon him. He's broken the chains of sin. When I'm tempted to go against God's will and I remember Jesus Christ, I cast myself at his feet and ask for his help. I let him lead me down the path he wants me to go down, because he is the shepherd. He's the one that I'm following. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Again, we're reminded of the one who sits on the right hand of God, that we do have victory. We do have help. He has a perfect will for us. We just have to have our outlook renewed at different times. There is a purpose for where you and I are at in our life right now, and God wants us to have that renewed perspective. He wants us to pursue the new perspective that he has in our life. Look at verse 2 again. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, a lot of Christians are focused on the things of this world. And they're finding, there's so many examples, but I just say this, one of the greatest examples and one of the main things that a lot of people struggle with is tithing. Is just doing what God has asked us to do in Scripture, and he promises a blessing. Now, it's just not monetary, but even giving of our life, as Romans 12 tells us, being that living sacrifice. Again, there's a lot of people that struggle with salvation. And it's the simplest thing. Giving your life and heart to the Lord. It's the simplest thing. And then God just asks for obedience after that. Do I need to be convicted in my heart on what God has said in his word in order to apply it to my life? And the answer is no. I don't have to be convicted. If God says to do it, then I need to do it. If God says don't do it, then I don't need to do it. Think about Achan. Achan is the one that when they went into the city of Jericho, God said, do not take anything. It all is to be burned. It's a sacrifice to the Lord. It all belongs to God. The first battle in the promised land. But Achan decided to take a wedge of gold and some Babylonian garments and hid them under his tent without telling anybody. His family knew about it. He didn't tell anybody. But God knew about it. And guess what? It caused men to die in the next battle in the city of Ai. It's found out. Joshua, by God directing it, whittles it down, calls the families and whittles it down to Achan. And Achan finally confesses what he did. You know the rest of the story. He loses his life and so does his family because of his sin. God said not to do it. Again, I've heard Christians say, well, I'm not convicted on that. I'm not convicted on the type of clothing. I'm not convicted on tithing. I'm not convicted on really, doing more for the Lord. But yet, we know what the Bible says. And the reason why I bring this up, because conviction comes at different times. It comes, there's been times where I've been sitting listening to a message and just the truth of God's word being preached convicted my heart. I already knew what it meant when it was being said, but my heart was convicted and I just asked the Lord, help me to accomplish that. Help me to be faithful in that. It's knowing the truth, but there's times where, again, God does convict our heart. But listen, I'm not always convicted in my heart to go the speed limit because I need to get somewhere. You know what? I can get there a lot quicker if I go faster than the speed limit. But I know that, if I go faster than the speed limit and there's a speed trap, I'm going to get pulled over. And I really don't want to get pulled over because I don't want the extra bill that comes with getting pulled over. I don't have the extra money to pay for that bill. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say is we don't have to always be convicted to do what's right. if we know that God has said it, then because he's given us a new life in Christ, we need to be obedient to what God has said. Again, many Christians are struggling in their life because they're not being obedient to what they already know they are to be doing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because we are to pursue a new perspective in this new life that we have been given through Christ. Again, he says, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above. And when we look above, we're reminded of the new life that we have in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Understand, the things we see in this world we know are temporal. They're not going to last. But we know that eternity, we know the eternal things, and he wants us to be focused on the eternal things. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is the inward man renewed day by day? Our bodies are getting older. Eyesights are getting dimmer at different times. Your mind doesn't work as good as it used to. Example me earlier, giving you a story and forgetting why I even was given that story. But yet the inward man is renewed day by day by what? Reading our horoscope? Keeping up with the news? Keeping up with the latest, you know, soccer scores or whatever it may be in this world? No. How are we renewed day by day? By the Word of God. You realize there's been times in my life where I've not wanted to read the Bible because I was upset. Upset or bothered or overwhelmed with something. I know I'm supposed to. I mean, that's what I tell people to do, right? Read your Bible. But again, there's times where I am not wanting to. But then I open it anyway because I know, okay, I'm supposed to. And then once I start reading, I'm convicted that I even had the thought and even said, I don't want to read it. Almost having a Jonah moment. Because you know Jonah? God told him, go to Nineveh and preach the word. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He preached the word freely to the Israelis, to the Jews, to the Hebrews, to God's people. But when God said, go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites, he didn't say no verbally. But in his actions, he said no because he went and got on a ship, headed in the opposite direction to Tarshish. And when God spared his life, he still was not convicted in his heart to go to Nineveh. He just went because he had spent 3 days and three nights in the well's belly. God spared him. He prayed. God allowed him to get onto shore. And God said, go to Nineveh and preach my word. You know how we know that he wasn't convicted and he wasn't changed? Because after he went through Nineveh and preached the wrath of God was coming, he went and sat on the hillside and waited for the destruction and then got mad when God didn't destroy the Ninevites. What I'm saying is that God's given us a new life. Yes, there are times where, you know what, I'm not convicted in my heart because of ill feelings, because of not a right attitude, because of the wrong thinking. But then we do what we're supposed to do because it's right, and it will change us. And the way we know that Jonah was changed later on is because he's the one that writes the book of Jonah. He's the one that tells what he did and why he did it and that he was wrong. But our focus has to be on the new life. If we lose focus on who we're living for. Who is the child of God supposed to be living for? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Not ourselves. We're to be living for Christ. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We have to be renewed day by day. We have to read the Word of God day by day. We have to seek God through prayer. We have to seek God's will day by day, and even cast upon God the things that bother us, the things that are plaguing our mind, the things that we're wrestling with, the things that are keeping us from moving forward for the Lord. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 6. Because not only are we just supposed to focus on the new life, but we are to forsake the old life. We're to forsake the old life. You might think, well, Pastor, I've been saved for 20-something years. I've forsaken the old life that I used to live. I know. But the old life isn't just back when we were unsaved. It's also our old ways. The old ways that were unfruitful back then when we were lost and unsaved, but also the old ways now that aren't fruitful, that aren't getting us anywhere that God wants us to go. In Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes we find ourselves doing the same thing over and over again and going nowhere, because our heart is set on us and what we want instead of what God wants. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our treasure needs to be Him. Otherwise, we start kicking against the pricks. We find ourselves fighting against God. We find ourselves miserable. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice what he says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Everything a child of God needs, God's already given it to us. And it's at the right hand of His throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of everything you and I need. Every child of God needs is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, we understand the lost don't understand this. The lost people, those that do not have Jesus Christ, are living contrary to the will of God. But the child of God is not to live contrary to the will of God. We know better. We know what God wants. And what does God want from you and from me? Our heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it that we treasure more in this world than Jesus Christ? That's a weight that needs to be set aside. We're to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. We are to have this new outlook on life. And the way to have that new outlook is to keep looking up, to keep looking at the right hand of the Father. Verse 4 back in Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life. That's what Paul said. Paul said that as he wrote to the believers at Colossae. And what we have of Paul's life that's written in Scripture, we can look and see Jesus Christ was definitely his life. Because he never gave up on God's will for his life and for God's purpose. No matter what happened to Paul as he was serving God, he kept right on serving God. He kept right on going from town to town, city to city, country to country. Everywhere the Holy Spirit led him, that's where he went, because he knew that's where God wanted him to go. And no matter what happened, no matter what hardships he faced, he kept on moving. And I want you, last place, I want you to look back at Galatians chapter 2. Because I believe Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 should be on the forefront of every Christian's mind that's living their life for the Lord and wants to live their life for the Lord. Because this is what helped Paul to finish his course. This is what helped Paul to keep that right perspective and to even have that renewed outlook every day in his life. I'm crucified with Christ, right? My life is not mine anymore. My life belongs to the Lord. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul's perspective on life. That's the way Paul felt, and that's the way that he lived, because he knew that Christ liveth in me. And he lived his life with that because, as it says in verse 4 of Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, is Christ our life tonight? I know he's my Savior, but is he my life? Does he have all of me? Do I live my life every day with the purposeful intent of lifting him up in my life and glorifying him as a child of God? It doesn't matter what our age is. Whereas when I was a teenager, even when I was a young man, oh, okay. When I get older, I'll do what you're supposed to do. But I realized real young, every child of God, whether you're a teenager, in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, 80s, whatever age, we have a golden opportunity to live the best years of our life for the Lord. And it takes us having that mindset that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every day our focus has to be on the Lord, and every day it takes us renewing the inner man, giving God his proper place in our life, letting our hearts truly change.